Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
All right. Well, I would like to start by reading a situation for you from a book that we're going to be talking about today. And it reads this: on April 8th, 2004, while patrolling Highway 1 in Baghdad, Iraq, Specialist Jonathan Kephart and his squad were ordered to move to the location of another patrol that had been ambushed and had an immobilized vehicle. While en route, they were greatly outnumbered by enemy forces on both sides of the road, and then a roadblock forced them to turn back into the middle of the ambush. Jonathan laid down heavy, accurate fire, keeping the enemy pinned down while his squad drove out of the ambush. Only after a rocket-propelled grenade hit his vehicle, he was shot twice, and only after a rocket-propelled grenade hit his vehicle did Jonathan stop firing. His wounds were too grievous for him to continue. And this is a quote coming from a book. The book is Proven in Battle, and we'll be speaking with Burton Kephart, the one who wrote this book and put it together, to tell the story of his courageous son. His son was Jonathan Kephart. Jonathan gave his life for our country in a turn of events that could easily have a movie made about his life. But the good news is that before he gave his life for America, Jonathan had given his life to Jesus and accepted the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made to save us. The book Proven in Battle details how a family deals with the news that their son has died fighting for freedom and defending his fellow soldiers. Proven in Battle is written on the back of the book here. It says, Proven in Battle is a real story about real heroes, real bravery, real grief, and a real faith that sustained the Kephart family during such a tragic loss. I believe that today will be a special program for all of you listening. And in just a little bit, we'll speak to the father of Jonathan Kephart, who was an American hero who gave his life for our country. And you might want to call or text your friends or family so that they can also tune in and listen to this interesting conversation. And you can send links of the archive of this recording by going to our website, www.standinthegapradio.com. Well, friends, I'm Pastor Isaac Crockett, and I'm joined by Pastor Gary Dahl. Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, two of our regular co-hosts, are not able to be with us today. And in just a few moments, we'll talk to our special guest. But before we get started, Gary, we have something special going on for our listeners this month of October. Could you maybe talk about this the special gifts that are being offered up for Pastors Appreciation Month?
I'd be happy to, Isaac, and I'm looking forward to this program as well. It's a needed program, and Bert Kephart and I went to school together back before the Civil War. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to stay tuned. Well, yes, October is Pastors Appreciation Month, and from today until the end of the month, which is just a little over a week away, if you tag your pastor in a comment on our Facebook page, American Pastors Network on Facebook, and let us know what makes him special, then we'll enter his name in a free drawing for three prizes. The first prize will be a beautiful leather-bound edition of the Founders Bible authored by hashtag David Barton from hashtag Wall Builders. And I'm holding this Bible in my hand right now. Beautiful Bible. It's about 2 inches thick, and you will love it. It has an awful lot of patriotic emphasis in it. Every pastor needs one of these. That's first prize. Second prize is a U-Turn 4-disc DVD set from one of our U-Turn conferences. And then third prize is a message entitled God's Plan for a Blessed Culture. And in this message, Sam Rohr gives 10 essential principles to rebuild the foundations of our culture. So let's give out a big shout for all of our wonderful pastors at our Facebook page, American Pastors Network on Facebook. We'll have the drawing, and somebody's going to win these prizes. Isaac?
All right. Thank you, Gary. It sounds like an exciting opportunity for you to honor your pastor. And Gary, as we get started today covering some of the things that are going on, I know that you have a son in the Army. I want to express my gratitude for your son's service and to your family, and to realize that you have an understanding that most of us don't because of that. And, you know, in the news this past week, I've seen that the president actually signed a bill that gave the Air Force, for example, the power to call up 1,000 retired pilots back to duty if needed. And there have been other measures being taken. And I'm wondering what you think this is because of. I know there's a lot going on with North Korea right now, but do you think that some of this measure and some of the other measures that President Trump had to take in his first few months of office, do you think they might be a direct result of President Trump having inherited a military that was low on soldiers, low on ships, and low on supplies?
Yeah, I support what President Trump did because it appears to be that under the previous administration, our military has weakened and some of our equipment is really not up to par. And we don't even have the personnel at times to be able to conduct a strong front if we needed it in a potential war. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a general not too long ago who said that we would have a hard time right now even maintaining one war theater, let alone two, if it had to be. So I'm supporting what Donald Trump is doing in trying to strengthen the military and calling up these 1,000 retired pilots. It's interesting, Isaac, tied into that, we just heard that the Air Force is preparing B-52 bombers for 24-hour alert status, mainly because of the North Korean situation. So, you know, we are at an interesting time in our history now in America. Thank God that we're strengthening our military.
Wow, yes. And you know, as someone who has a special insight because your son is a soldier, how do you feel President Trump is doing? And how do you think your son and other soldiers, in a general sense, what do you think they're thinking? Do they seem to have a high view of our current president?
Well, I don't know, Isaac. I would think that maybe they do. My son is one who is a ranger. He's been in special ops. He's a major in the army, and he doesn't talk too much about it. I've asked him different times what he thinks of President Trump, and he says he's my commander in chief. Doesn't talk too much about it. But when I take into consideration that Donald Trump is doing what he can to try to strengthen the military, support the military, follow the generals of the military in their directives concerning the military, I would have to think that there are many in the military who do respect him and are very thankful for what he's doing.
That's a good point, and it does seem that he has put a lot of folks around him who have military experience. Do you think that that's an important role for a president in our day and age?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I think that that was one of the problems from my observation with the previous administration, that President Obama did not really take the advice of the military generals and admirals as he should have. And I think that Donald Trump is doing that, and I think that the result is going to be a stronger military.
Very interesting. Well, when we come back, we'll be speaking about some things in the military. We'll be speaking with Burton Kephart, a veteran and godly father whose oldest son, Jonathan, was killed in action fighting for our country. You won't want to miss this. His testimony is great. When we come right back, we'll be talking to him.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back. Pastor Gary Dahl is co-hosting with me today, and I'm Isaac Crockett. And we're welcoming in our good friend, Burton Kephart. Bert, thanks so much for joining us today, and thank you for your service to our country and your testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for having me today, Pastor Crockett.
Well, my wife and I, Jill and I, have known Bert and his wife Donna for a little over a decade, and we've gotten to meet his children and be in their church and different things. But as often the case, as I'm finding out when I talk to people about American Pastors Network, and I mention my co-host today, Pastor Gary Dahl, a lot of people know Pastor Gary. They recognize his name. And so I recently found out that Burton and Gary have known each other for a very long time. And so, Bert, could you tell our listeners what branch of military you served in and where you served, and then how you ended up going from the military to Bible college where you met Pastor Gary Dahl?
Yes, sir. I served in the U.S. Navy. I was what they call brown water Navy in the Mekong Delta in Vietnam. When I came back from Vietnam, I was filled with guilt from the atrocities of war, things that I had done, things that I had seen. And I met a young man by the name of Ken Beekler, who was attending a Bible study at an elderly couple's house on Friday nights. And he invited me to go to that Bible study. Ken Beekler was going to go off to Bible college in September of that year to prepare for the ministry. And I thought that it was a great idea, that I had a desire in my heart to know God, and I thought it was a great idea to go to Bible college. It would be a great place to learn about God. So I went off to Washington Bible College with Ken Beekler, and that's where I found the Lord. I was there a week, and President George Miles was an avid soul winner. He preached a message in chapel on the blood of Christ alone for one's salvation. And for the first time in my life, I realized I had never accepted Christ as my Savior. A week later, I drove home. I wrestled with that under tremendous conviction. And I went to that Bible study, to that home, and Bill and Becky Schwab, and I said to them, I'm not saved. I need to accept the Lord as my Savior. And at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, on the second Sunday in September of 1970, I knelt beside their couch, and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart, and to be my Savior.
You know, Bert, it's a delight to have you on the program today, and of course it's been many years since we've talked to each other and since we've seen each other. And as I said before we went on the air, in looking back to the 1970s, you were one who made an impact upon my life. I knew somewhat about your tour of duty over there in Vietnam and somewhat about what you were going through. But I looked up to you and another man from the Altoona, Pennsylvania area by the name of Dane Emmerich. And, of course, I knew Ken Beekler, still know Ken Beekler. Ken Pastor's not too far away from me. But publicly, as we speak to about 3 million people, I just want to thank you for your testimony and for the impact that you had in my life back in the early days of our Washington Bible College experience. But having said that, you have written this book that Isaac has talked about, and I think it's a great book. It's entitled Proven in Battle. But you wrote it, and you've spoken to many groups about what that book speaks of, because it speaks to the day that you found out that your own son, Jonathan, died. And I'm wondering if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about that, Bert.
11 months after Jonathan's death, we were at Arlington National Cemetery as a family. For the first time in the history of our nation, they were honoring soldiers that had fallen in war before that war was over. And, of course, that was Iraq. While I was there, I met family after family after family from across this country that had lost loved ones in the war, as I had. And many of them did not know the peace that I had, that we have as a family, that everything with Jonathan was okay, that he's in heaven with the Lord. And my desire was to try and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I had no idea what to do. I did not know how to go about it. I stood there one day, I had my hands up in the air, and I said, God, if you'll just show me what to do, please help me to do it. And I realized that it would be a national effort to reach these families all across the country. And through that, God led us very clearly to write our story. And that story is in the book, proven in battle.
And, you know, Brother Kephart, it's a very powerful story that you tell. You talk about coming home from church and thinking that maybe Jonathan had left you a voice message, and actually it wasn't him. Could you maybe just walk us through, and that's kind of the beginning of the book, could you kind of walk us through what happened when you found these things out? Because the book explains the whole situation, but when you first found out, there was a lot of unknowns about it.
Yes, sir. I did walk in the house that night. It was a Thursday night at 10 o'clock, and the red light was on, blinking on the answering machine. Of course, I immediately thought it was Jonathan, and pushed the button, and it was not. It was the Army Department. They were calling us to notify us that he had been seriously wounded in battle and that they wanted to fly us to be where they were taking him, either to Walter Reed Hospital or to the hospital in Germany. And in the process of that phone call, the sergeant that was calling put me on hold. She had a direct line to the Baghdad hospital. She was going to let me know where they were taking him and make preparations to get us there. In the process of that call, she came back after a very short time. She was crying, and I knew immediately why. I knew immediately because of her crying that he didn't make it. And I said to her, I said, ma'am, you can tell me. I'm a Vietnam veteran. She said she was not authorized to tell us, that there would be no need to fly anywhere, and that the Army Department would be in touch with us very shortly. And that's how we found out about the death of our son, Jonathan. And as an experience in my heart that's as real as I can tell it, I had perfect peace in my heart in knowing that though Jonathan had been taken in war, that he was in heaven with the Lord. I knew that he was okay. And that brought a great deal of comfort and peace to our heart. And of course, God's grace brought us through the most difficult experience we had ever faced in our lives. We did not know what happened to Jonathan. We did not know how he died, and those were very difficult days. But on Saturday following that Thursday, I received a phone call from Iraq, from his platoon sergeant. He knew that as a dad, I would want to know the details of his death. And both he and Amy Kovac, his driver, talked to us on the telephone for 45 minutes and gave us the details of the battle in which Jonathan died. And that's how we found out the details of his death.
Bert, from that particular point on, what kind of communication did you have with people in the military, those who worked along with Jonathan, those who were his superiors? Was there further communication between you and them? Did it end at that point, or what followed after that that conversation that Saturday?
It definitely did not end at that point. It actually began and continues until this day. I talked to his entire squad by telephone shortly thereafter through a link that they were able to do. Most of them have called us, have talked to us personally. I've been in touch with his platoon sergeant, Ed Rossman, who is now retired. I actually went out to Colorado Springs to attend his retirement ceremony. Amy Kovac, his driver, lives just 1 hour up the interstate from us here in Sharon, Pennsylvania, and we are together several times throughout the year. And it's been a blessing to us to hear from them, and it never stops. We're always hearing from somebody, and it's very difficult for them to call us and to talk to us and to know what to say. And even after a long period of time, we will get a phone call from somebody that knew Jonathan and talk to them.
Wow, that's so touching. And to hear these things, and to, as a parent, have that honor of knowing what a godly young son he was, and his time in the battlefield was short, but his time in the military was several years, and his impact on eternity, of course, is far-reaching. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for being on with us. We're going to come back and talk to you a little bit more about some of the current events that are going on, as well as some more about Jonathan's life and the book that you wrote, Proven in Battle, which explains something that none of us would want, no one would want to go through, and only a very few people have actually experienced. So when we come back, we'll be talking with Burton Kephart about what he thinks about some of the things in the news with President Trump and the president's phone calls to Gold Star families, and talking about his take on that, as well as a little more information about Proven in Battle, his book about his son. So don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break, so please stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap Today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, welcome back to our program, and thank you for joining Pastor Gary Dahl and our guest, Burton Kephart, and myself, Pastor Isaac Crockett. I want to thank you for listening and remind you that if you would like to listen to this program or other programs again, or if you just want to see additional information and find more resources, maybe you want to share some of these things with friends who were not able to listen, you can check out not only our website, which our website is a good place to start, standinthegapradio.com, standinthegapradio.com, or you can also get our mobile phone app that has so many good things on it with our archive of programs as well. Or you can follow us on social media to stay up to date with the latest information, to be kept up to speed with what we're doing, and to be able to share little tidbits maybe with a child or a grandchild or a friend who keeps up with social media. We are on Facebook and Twitter and have a YouTube channel as well. So following the social media accounts at the American Pastors Network is a very easy way to stay in close contact. Also, don't forget to go to the American Pastors Network Facebook page and tag your pastor in a post for a chance for him to win one of three prizes being given away during this month of October. Well, Gary and I have been talking with our good friend, Burton Kephart, about his son's sacrifice for our country and how his family dealt with the news of their son dying in the battle for our country and really sacrificing himself. Even though he was shot multiple times, he kept manning his post in his vehicle in order to protect his fellow soldiers. And so as we've looked at this and talked about this book, Proven in Battle, that goes into great detail, if you're interested in it, it tells a lot more about Jonathan's life. I just want to ask you, Burton, when you heard this news recently breaking about a congresswoman criticizing President Trump for his phone call to this young Gold Star widow, as somebody who has gone through this difficult process, what were your thoughts of this being made public and going into the news? How did you feel when you heard about that?
When I first heard it for the very first time, it made me very angry. And then I got to thinking, you know what? I really feel sorry for those who are so critical of our president, because I've learned in my lifetime, a long time ago, it is far easier to criticize the one doing something than it is to be doing what they are doing. And that's what I thought. I honestly felt sorry for her. I also thought that President Trump has a lot on his plate as president of our great country. And I have to really admire him for his sincerity in desiring to call these families and to express his condolences to them. And may I say this by personal experience? It is not easy for anyone to find the words to speak to a family that is grieving in the loss of a loved one. And then I thought this. There's a scripture verse that says, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And I'll guarantee you, those who are so critical of his efforts in expressing his condolences to these families, I'll guarantee you they haven't made that phone call. And if you ask me, that's being somewhat hypocritical. That's what I thought.
That's a good way of saying it. I appreciate that. Gary, you have a perspective on this sort of situation that most of us don't have also, because your son is in the Army. And as a pastor, you've had the difficult responsibility of telling families that someone has died, even in times someone who was in the military. Could you maybe give your thoughts and a little of information and background on a situation like this from your perspective?
Well, first of all, I agree with what Bert said. And when I heard about this, I was basically appalled at the way that this particular congresswoman down there from Florida responded. As you know, as Bert knows, one of the most difficult things to tell somebody is that they have lost a loved one. And it was interesting that when I heard what President Trump had said to this lady about how that her son was a hero and that he knew what he signed up for, I thought those were good words. I've used those words myself, because what you are saying to the mother or the father in that case, your son is a hero. He knew exactly when he signed up to go to the military that he may have the responsibility of putting his life on the line in the future. You know, I recall that when my son signed up, he's a major in the Army. I recall when he signed up that he and I had to make out his funeral arrangements. That wasn't the easiest thing to do, but we had to do it. And thank the Lord that so far, after about 15, 16 years, he is still with us. But you never know when the situation is going to come up, when he may be in harm's way and be shot, be hurt, be wounded, lose his life as a special op person, as a ranger. And so I tell you the truth, Isaac, I did not hear the conversation, obviously, between the president and these two ladies, but I thought that he did well in the words that he used. Now, we know Donald Trump isn't the most compassionate man when it comes to using words, and I wish that this back and forth that is going on in the country today between he and the congresswoman and this young fellow's mother would stop. But I was not in any way, shape, or form offended by the way that the president spoke to this lady in the words that he used.
Brother Kephart, every Gold Star family has a unique story to tell. And each year you make several thousand copies of your story, your book, Proven in Battle. And our listeners can get a copy, you said, by contacting you via email, which is at your email address, which is DKEPS1497200. DKEPS1497200@usachoice.net. How did you come up with the name Proven in Battle for the title of this book?
After Jonathan's funeral, sometime later, I'm not sure just how much time had elapsed, but his personal belongings were delivered to us via a truck, and that was a very difficult day for us. There were three lockers, and when they were put in the garage and the truck pulled away, I opened one locker, and ironically, the one that I opened, there was a coin laying on top of his things, and that coin was engraven, Proven in Battle. And that's how I got the title for the book. I thought if I ever wrote anything about this story, about his courage in battle, I would entitle it Proven in Battle. And that's how I got the title for the book. It came as a result of that coin. And to this day, I do not know who put that coin there.
You know, that must have blessed your heart. And I'm sure that was an emotional time, Bert, when you saw that coin there and that that statement proven in battle, because that's really what took place in Jonathan's life. He was doing what he signed up to do, and in the long run, he gave his life for liberty, for freedom. And obviously, it must have been an emotional time for you to consider, and as well as your wife. But, you know, what other kind of awards and honors has Jonathan received for his valor and sacrifice?
Jonathan has a total of 7 medals. They include the Purple Heart. It includes the Bronze Star, with V for Valor, Combat Action Ribbon, and I'm really not sure what a couple of the other ones are. He was put up for the Silver Star. We believe that it's very clear that he earned the Silver Star. Unfortunately, he was not awarded the Silver Star. It was a decision by the upper echelon that they would not issue MPs Silver Stars at the time of Jonathan's death because of the mess that was going on in the prison there in Iraq by some MPs abusing prisoners. And that was very unfortunate, and that's probably the one low point in this whole thing. But we know in our hearts that Jonathan earned that Silver Star.
And could you also mention, I think there was recently a bridge dedicated in his honor. Could you maybe say a little bit about the ceremony of that as well?
Yes, sir. September 24th of 2016, the commander of the VFW initiated before that a desire to rename a bridge in Oil City where we lived at the time of Jonathan's death. It's just a few miles from where we live now. But to rename the Petroleum Street Bridge, the Specialist Jonathan R. Kephart Memorial Bridge. And when taken to City Council approved it. It went to the House of Representatives. The House of Representatives approved it. It went to the State Congress. The State Congress approved it. It went to the governor, and the governor approved it. And on September 24th of 2016, the Petroleum Street Bridge was officially renamed the Jonathan R. Kephart Memorial Bridge. And it was a tremendous blessing.
What a special time. And I heard there were testimonies about him. What a neat way to remember him. When we come right back, we'll be finding out more about solutions to these issues and looking at how we find our hope in Jesus Christ no matter what through this book, Proven in Battle.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
A quote by Bill Schuster, "Our veterans accepted the responsibility to defend America and uphold our values when duty called."
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we have heard today how the Kephart family received the news that we all dread hearing. They found out that their son was killed in combat in Iraq. And Burton's testimony of God's peace in the hardest of times and all the difficulties that came with it, but still having God's peace, is a reminder that God is our rock and our refuge. And I know for myself, it's been emotional listening to this again, even though I've heard this story many, many times. And I'm thinking of loved ones, my father and other loved ones that I've lost. And I'm sure for many of our listeners, you're having those similar emotions right now. And so, Brother Kephart, what would you like to say to somebody listening today who has lost a loved one, maybe another military family who's lost a child or a spouse, a Gold Star family, or maybe somebody else who's lost a child, a spouse, a close friend? Well, what comfort would you offer our listeners?
I'm going to answer that question in this way, Pastor Crockett. I'm going to say some things that people have said to us that have been a help and an encouragement to us. For example, I stood at Jonathan's casket with a friend, and I asked her this question. I said, how can I thank my son for what he did in giving his life for his brothers and sisters in arms? And this is what my friend said to me that day. My friend said he would want you to go on. And I believe that with all of my heart. And I would say that to those that have lost loved ones. Your loved one would want you to go on in their absence. I would also like to say that Jonathan will always live in our hearts. Even death cannot take him from us. He will always be there. I will say this, and I believe it was mentioned somewhere in the program, but it's true. He was where he wanted to be. He was doing what he wanted to do. And I know with all of my heart that if he had it to do over again, he would do the very same thing. And those are a couple of thoughts that I would say to those that have had the experience of facing the loss of their loved one.
You know, Bert, my heart's touched here today hearing you. And we said on the program, my wife Nancy and I have a son who is in the military. And I know how difficult it was even to plan his funeral. But as in your case with Jonathan, our son knows the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and if we'd ever hear those terrible words, we know that he would have been promoted into heaven. And so, you know, it's sort of an emotional thing for me even to be talking with you about this on the program today. But there are no doubt many listeners out there today who are struggling emotionally simply because of the fact that they have lost a son or a daughter in the military. Maybe as the result of a wartime incident, or maybe even a peacetime incident, in the sense of just many times people are killed in training. What kind of a word would you have for them today, a word of encouragement, a word of challenge, that in some way, shape, or form might be a blessing to them, Bert?
I would say what the Bible says, what God says in his word concerning the wonderful promise of eternal life after death. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 1 John chapter 2, he has promised us eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, God has given to us eternal life. Verse 13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Heaven is real. And so is hell. And if you don't have the peace in your heart of knowing that you are going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus when you leave this world, I would challenge you and I would ask you to please read in the Bible the book of 1 John and read promises that the Lord gave to us, to those who acknowledge that they're sinners and that they need Christ, and that call upon him and accept him into their heart as their personal Savior. I would encourage them to please seek the Lord in his word and find him. Find the wonderful experience of having your sins forgiven and a home awaiting you in heaven, like I did when I was 22 years old so many years ago when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior.
That's a great admonition to give to people, because it's important that people know the Lord and that there is salvation and the forgiveness of sins and the reality of heaven through faith in Christ. But I also just want to throw out another verse, Bert, to those who may be going through this themselves personally. And that's Psalm 46:1. I've used it many times, where it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is there to give all the strength, all the comfort, all the wisdom, all the guidance that we need when we go through a time of difficulty, like losing a loved one, a father, a son, a mother, whatever the case may be. And Bert, I thank you very much for sharing with us today. Isaac?
Yes, and if you would like to contact Brother Kephart or his wife Donna, the email address to contact them and request a personal copy of the book Proven in Battle is dkeps1497-2000@usachoice.net. That's dkeps1497-2000@usachoice.net. And thank you so much for sharing with us today, Brother Kephart. And this is something that he does. He uses his own finances to print these books out and distribute them every year, several thousand of them. So if you'd be interested in that, Gary, maybe you could close our program. And before you close in prayer, maybe mention the special program you have coming up tomorrow and any other words of encouragement you might have time to give others who, like you, have a son or a daughter in the military right now.
Well, first of all, I just want to mention that the Lord willing, tomorrow, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung will be on with us as we talk about the promised land, the land of promise, Canaan, look at it historically and what we can expect in the future from God's perspective. But so I'd encourage you to be with us. But again, if you're going through a time of trial such as this, remember, God is there to provide you all the strength that you need. Trust Christ as your Savior, and then look unto God for the strength that you need. Father, I thank you for the way that you've used Bert and Donna in this situation with their son, Jonathan. And I pray that anybody under the sound of our voices today who does not know Christ would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and find comfort and strength in you in the trials they face in life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thank you, Gary, and a special thanks to our special guest, Burton Kephart. We really appreciate you being on air with us today. And don't forget, as Gary said, we have an exciting and informative program for you right here coming up tomorrow. Please pray for all of the ministries here of the American Pastors Network. We appreciate you listening to us. We appreciate those who have been able to give towards our program, and would ask you to make a decision to stand in the gap for the Lord today. Please tune in again on your radio, online, or on your smartphone app. Thanks so much.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.